we're teaching, again, lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And we've been doing, this is really as a beginning foundation that we're laying in this teaching. And really, we're still in the first really step of the areas of laying foundation. We're still teaching in this and going over the scriptures and looking through these things, because we found when we started this teaching that there's things that you must believe, that you have to believe. It's an impossibility for a person to be healed if, from the standpoint of believing God. Now understand, God could work through a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit, heal a person who isn't believing a thing. We have that in Scripture. You know, the guy at the Gate Beautiful didn't believe anything to get healed. My words, the Bible tells us how he was brought all the time and set in the at that Gate Beautiful. He was always sitting there. The man was 40 years old. Well, when Peter came to him, Jesus had not long been raised from the dead. Jesus had been in that temple healing people, we know, because the Bible tells us he was, and the man didn't get healed. And he came along. In other words, the man didn't respond when Jesus was there, but he was healed through a manifestation of the Spirit. And a person may get healed that way, but you want to learn to be healed by faith. Because to be healed by faith, you can be healed at any time. The gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit are only as the Spirit wills. And they're not all the time. They don't all the time take place or manifest. And so we want to learn to develop in our faith. And to develop in faith, if we're going to walk in faith in the area of healing, we must know what God has said about healing, because faith is only where the will of God is known. No one can be in faith with God about something that they don't know what God said about it. You couldn't trust him to do something he never said he would do. You wouldn't know that. That wouldn't make any sense. Yet, much of Christianity really talks, and I know over the years of, from the time I was a child and being around the church world and on up through, people all the time were talking about trusting God, but yet they had no idea what God was going to do. But they were talking about they were going to trust him. You know, it's sort of like we've done in our nation. We've trusted two political parties to do what's right. Worked out real well, hasn't it? We just keep, someday, you know, they're just going to do right. You know, someday they're going to actually do what they say they're going to do. Well, you can't trust untrustworthy people. And but God has given us what God gives in his word. And we need to understand, the Bible tells us, you know, God will never go back on his word. He's going to stand on his word. So if I know what God's word has said about something, then I know this. I can have faith in him then to do what he said he would do. So what we're looking at is dealing in the areas of healing. We must find out what God said about healing. We have to find out what he said about it if I'm going to trust him in it. And if I find out what the scriptures say, and that's what we've been doing. We've been looking time and time again, looking at things. Last week we looked at the fact of when Jesus commissioned. We looked at three different groups that he commissioned. He commissioned the 12 disciples to go heal. He commissioned the 70. And then we looked at, after his resurrection and the starting of the new covenant, he did a commission to the church. And commissioned the church. And that commission came to all of us who are born again. Anybody who comes into the kingdom was commissioned. And one thing we were commissioned was to lay hands on the sick. And there was never any, at any time did we find out that there was any restrictions of any certain diseases or things you didn't pray for, or the fact that any certain group of people or someone that you had to ask God if it was okay if that person got healed. We looked at that last week. And so in looking at those things, we're laying down a pattern, and this is what I want you to see. If you get the basics of the pattern, and the fact, if you know it's God's will for you to be well, it's going to shut the door on a lot of questions, on a lot of things, and a lot of things that people say, and a lot of things. It'll shut the door on it. You won't sit around and reason that anymore. You'll become convinced. And you've got to become convinced the fact that it is God's will for all to be healed. If it's not, then the only way that you're going to be able to be healed is you're going to have to pray and find out and ask God if it's his will to heal you. So each time you get sick. Now listen to this. Actually, I believe this personally. I believe it'd be a sin to go to anybody and ask them to lay hands on you if you don't know that it's God's will to heal you, because you're not walking by faith. Whatever is, the Bible says, whatever is faith is sin. Many people ignorantly sin, but nonetheless, it is sin. They're doing wrong. See, many people, they go to these meetings and like, you know, and a healing evangelist, you know, is ministers and has a, you know, special anointing in the area. God uses them in the area of healing. They'll go to those meetings, but many people don't, they don't believe God. They don't know if God wants them healed. They're going to go take a shot at it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go take a shot to see if God wants them well. They don't know that. They're not convinced of that. And then what happens, what takes place is they go and it don't work. And they stop and they say, well, you know, God in His wisdom, you know, He has a reason why He hasn't healed me. No, you've determined. This is what people don't like, really lack in Christianity. We have this thing, everything's under God's control, you know. God wants it'll happen. If God don't want it, it don't happen. Which is the biggest bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. But yet Christianity is full of it. I'll tell you, you listen to most preachers on TV, and most of them believe that way. You know, God's will. Well, God's will is what I find out, is what He said, is what His will is, what He wants to do. Once I find that out, the discussion's over. I don't have to go back again. And I find out, once I know God's will, now I am responsible to see that that's carried out. It's no longer God's will to carry it out. My faith will bring it to pass. You understand that? You need to understand that. If I find out it's God's will to heal me, if I don't get healed, it's no longer in the hands of God. It's because of me. It comes to me. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that responsibility, but I found this out. People who don't like that responsibility mostly never get healed. They like to put everything over it's God's. But I found out that if I learned, and I learned this through Kenneth Hagin, that if I responded to God in faith, then God, whatever He said He would do, would take place. So it came to my responsibility whether I was going to respond in faith to God. Now, I don't know about you, I like that. That means this, that if I walk in the plan of God, of what God wants in something, then I can bring the peace. I know it will happen. See, I have this, I get an assurance. I'm not a socialist. I hate socialism. Because socialism demeans me. Socialism robs freedom from everybody. In other words, everybody under socialism, see, this is, most Christianity has a socialistic God who has this pattern of sort of, you know, everybody just sort of gets something. But under socialism, everybody gets less, but we all do get the same. Understand how socialism works. Socialism works this way. Everybody gets the same, but it's less. It always does. There's no country that has socialism where everybody gets the best. Never happens. Will never happen. Socialism takes everybody to the lowest level. It makes everybody poor. It makes everybody, except the people that run the show, it makes everybody else poor and down on the bottom. And we all get enough to keep us going, but never get much. That's its intent. Why? Because it's demonic. Its basis is in, it is lack of faith, no faith. You trust somebody to take care of you and not God. Socialism has no God. It always puts any kind of faith or anything like that out of the way. And really, much of Christianity today operates on a socialistic basis. It operates under the fact that God is the same. God offers the same to everybody, but God doesn't give the same to everybody because people receiving, they determine what they receive from God. God said, if you seek me, you find me. Socialism says, you don't have to look, we just take care of everybody, whether you work or you don't work. We just take care of everything. God don't do that. God said, if you seek me, you find me. In other words, the person who's not lazy, who will go after God, will find God. The person who don't seek God, don't get God. You see, what people need to understand is this principle, and that's why we look into the Word. We study the Bible to find out what God has said He wants us to have, which He's given us in our covenant. And then when we search and find that, when we come to the place we find that, what He said He wants us to have, then you have the right to believe it. You have sought Him. You have found Him. You've heard. If you sought Him, He's going to give you faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word. If you sought Him, He's going to show you what it says. He's going to bring faith to you. Why? So you can take a hold of it. That's why we're workers together with Him. It ain't a one-sided deal. You're working with God. You know, just think about it. Every time you use your faith, you're working with God. You're cooperating. You and God are working together. God does His part. You do your part. That's the way it works. And see, that's how reward comes. And it's based upon reward. God rewards you for using your faith, for trusting Him for what He said He wanted to do to you, how He wants to bless you. And so you believe it and say it so. And say, yep, I believe that's mine. I want to take God gave that to me. So by doing that, we're cooperating. We're working together with Him. We're helping bring His plan to pass in the earth. You know, when you allow God to heal you, you're allowing God to bring His plan into the earth. You're allowing God to do what He wants to do. He wants to heal people. He put it in a covenant. He wants you well. So when you're acting in faith, you're allowing Him to bring a pass His desires for you. And so you're cooperating with Him. You're working together with Him. Much of Christianity doesn't work with God at all. It doesn't do much of anything. It does almost nothing. It uses all the religious terminologies, but it doesn't do anything. And so the person who responds to God by faith and who believes Him is actually cooperating and working with God. Those are the things that please God. You're using your faith and working with Him. So that's what He wants. And so we're still building the foundation, and we're going to lay the last of the foundation of when we look at God in this morning. We're going to look at the areas that Jesus revealed the will of God, and He did it through His actions. Jesus revealed God's will through His actions. We found out things that He did in His ministry. We talked about the fact that through His words, He fulfilled the will of God. And we want to look that He fulfilled God. When we look at the actions of Jesus, we can see God's plans and purposes for men and what He did. And so we want to look at scriptures. This morning, I want us to turn to John 14, to John the 14th chapter. We want to look at some things here that Jesus said in John the 14 chapters. We had used some of the scriptures before, but we want to look because these scriptures reveal other things, and we want to look at them so you can see clearly in the scriptures what Jesus wanted to do. Now understand, this is Jesus. Now Jesus is talking to the disciples before He leaves. This John 14 is on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And if you look at these, you'll read through here to the down through, you'll find all these things that Jesus said to His disciples when they were together, when they had their last the meal there together with the Passover, and the things that He spoke and said to them. Now, since in verse 5 says this, and Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you know Me, you would have, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Now, you know, it's interesting. Jesus just made the statement in 7, and Philip turns around and says the dumbest thing you ever heard. He didn't pay no attention to what Jesus said. You see, just because we hear words don't mean we are paid any attention to it. You know, Philip sitting right there, Jesus said, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said, excuse me, Jesus, could you show us who the Father is? I mean, just think what Jesus just said. He just completely ignored what Jesus said. He didn't pay attention. Jesus said to him, and thank God, Jesus must have been very merciful and patient. He didn't say, what is wrong with you, you space cadet? Didn't you? Jesus said, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not known Me, Philip? He said, he who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Really, He is rebuking him, kindly. Now think of this. When you and I see Jesus, in other words, if you and I, and this is one of the things that we get the record we have of the Gospels, the record of the Gospels is the things that Jesus said and did. And through them, we get to know, really, is the introduction to the Father. I can look at Jesus. This is one thing that I know, is whatever Jesus did, the Father did. Whatever Jesus did. So, he goes on to say this. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now, we used this before. He said, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Listen, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. In other words, the actions that you see through me is the Father's works. It's what the Father does. So whatever we see Jesus do in his walk and in his ministry, and mostly we have from Jesus' ministry. You know, we really don't have hardly anything on Jesus' personal life of what he did. Think about it. Jesus was born into the earth. We almost no information until he hits 12 years old. Well, all we know is the fact that when he was born, he ended up, his parents took him and moved to Egypt and came back. He was 12 years old. We find the thing that happened in the temple. We have nothing said till he reaches the time he starts his ministry. So what we have is Jesus' ministry. And the important part of this, Jesus' life and what went on in between there is not that important. Oh, there's books written and trying to say they found what he did, this and that and the other thing. The most important part of Jesus' life was his ministry, because his ministry revealed God's will to men. That's more important than anything. His personal life, I ain't interested in trying to find out if somebody knew something. I don't really care about that. What I want to know, his ministry reveals the will of God to man. So his Father's will is revealed to man through it. He said, believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else. He said, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. The works, in other words, I can look at Jesus' works and I should be able to believe. He said what he said was so. By his works. And so, we need to understand that. So this statement proves that Jesus was the will of God in action. Jesus was God's will. So in the Gospels, Jesus' ministry to the multitudes, and we see and never find on one occasion where God was not willing to heal someone. Never. By the statements that see people turn around, well, yeah, Jesus did this because he was proving that he was, you know, God in the flesh, and by he did this. Well, if he was proving he was God in the flesh, he did a terrible job because a lot of people didn't believe it. The whole point of it is, if God reacted to one group of people in one way and he won't react the other way, then much of Jesus' ministry is a lie. It's not true. Then we have to doubt the new covenant. We have to have doubts about the new covenant. We need to understand this. If Jesus, what he said was true, what he did is what God does. If I never see Jesus make anybody sick, then I can know this, the fact, Jesus ain't in the sick making business. God is the Father, is not in the sick making. They both do identical. Understand this. If anything that Jesus did, he did because he was the Son of God, then therefore it would be God doing it anyhow, wouldn't it? So therefore, if Jesus did all that he did and never made anybody sick, then we know God didn't do that. And his intent toward man was never to do that. There is nobody who came and responded by faith that was not healed, who was not delivered. And so we can look at Jesus, and this is one thing that we need to grab that fact. Look at Jesus' ministry. Look at what he did. There's people who came to Jesus who really weren't in an area of faith. And what did he do? Did he turn them aside? No. He tried to bring them to faith. What he did was always tried to bring people to faith. You know, you sit down and read, Jesus went to his hometown. It says he could do no mighty works there because of his unbelief. But what did he do? And he say, oh, these scumbags through here, these people. It says he went about in a circuit teaching and preaching everywhere. Well, what did he do that for? Because teaching and preaching the word brings people to faith. So when he went out and went around and started teaching, what did he teach? You know, Jesus did a lot of teaching on healing. He had to. For people to have faith to be healed, he had to do teaching on healing. Jesus wasn't walking around preaching salvation to be get born again. Nobody could have got born again until after he was. He wasn't preaching that. Jesus was preaching healing. He had to for people to have faith to be healed. Without faith, you can't please God. That ain't never changed, folk. That never changes. We know that they had to have faith in the Old Covenant to please God because we have Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which goes down from the Old Testament and gives us all the Old Testament people and God's admiration about their faith. So we know nothing's changed. Faith has always been the same. God has always used His Word to bring people to faith. If God wants to heal you, He must. And if it's God's will for you to be healed, then He must bring you to faith to be healed. If He's not working to bring you to faith to be healed, then God is working against His own will. Well, then we could say this, God, if your will doesn't come to pass, it's your fault. It's your fault. Well, we know it ain't God's fault. So God's always going to bring you to faith. Understand this. If you come into an area of your life where you're dealing with something and you want God's help, know this exactly. If you don't know what the Word says about it, if you ask God to reveal to you what the Word says about it so you can have God's plan in that area, God must reveal it to you or He would be working against His own will. He'd work against it. It doesn't make any sense. See, what, if God doesn't reveal to me what I need to know, then God's the problem. I'm not. You need to understand that. God will always reveal to you the things that you need to know. That's why the Holy Ghost lives in you. You need to learn. One of the things is I don't personally ask the Father. If I want to know something, I ask the Holy Ghost. That's why the God put Him in. He's the teacher, isn't He? He's the one who guides us and leads us into all the truth. He takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. Well, Jesus is the author of the new covenant. He's the one that it works through. So therefore, whatever I need to know that's in the new covenant that I don't know, I can say, Holy Ghost, your job is to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to me. And I ask you to show me. There's things I need to know. And talk to Him about what you need to know. I don't have to pray to ask Him. I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus once I find out what I need to know. You understand that? Jesus said, I can ask the Father anything in His name and He'll give it to me. Well, what belongs to me? Ask the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's in you. You can talk to Him and He will talk to you. Ask Him, Holy Spirit. There's things I don't understand about the Word. There's things that I have questions. I say, Holy Ghost, what about these scriptures here? What is with this? What's this about? Well, see, He's the teacher. That's what He's put there for. To explain to you and reveal to you what the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Is He the Word? The Bible says He is. He's the Word of God. Explain to you what the Word is saying. And when the Holy Ghost, He'll always show you what Jesus Christ is saying. He'll always show you that. So, praise God. You can always know that. So ask Him. Now, there's things that we don't have to, you know, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out. The church has complicated the Bible. I can sit down and, you know, Jesus talked pretty plain in the things that He said, didn't He? He was pretty plain about things. One thing is we say, you can't mistake His actions. Read the Gospels. Jesus was a healing machine. Wasn't He? He was a healing machine. And if everything was the Father's work, then I know this. Daddy's a healing machine. Daddy's a healer. That's what Daddy is. Daddy's a healer. And so, when we look at the Scriptures, we'll always find Daddy being the healer. Now I want us to look over. Let's go to Matthew. Let's back to the Gospel of Matthew. Look there at that. According to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew the 4th chapter. You know, we found if you read the ones before what went on, you find out about Jesus picking up some disciples. He got Peter and Andrew and them. He picked these guys up. Now listen, this is Jesus' ministry starting off. Here's Jesus' ministry. He went out and picked up some guys. He found them fishing. And this was Peter and Andrew and them. And then look what happens. This is what He did. He said in verse 23, because the verse 22 tells you that the guys went and followed him. And so this is what he did. And Jesus went about all Galilee. What did he do? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what did he do? He went in their synagogues and he was teaching and preaching. One thing you do have to learn about this, teaching and preaching come before healing. Teaching and preaching. See, teaching, preaching, faith cometh by hearing the word. Now, if Jesus went teaching and preaching, and then it says he preached the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. All kind. Now listen, if he, Jesus, went about preaching and teaching and then he did healing, what was he teaching and preaching? See, he was teaching God's plan for the deliverance of man. That's what he was preaching. God wanted men well. God wanted to bless. He went around doing this, what? Telling the people, telling the Jews, because they had so much junk going on. It's like the church today has so much junk going on that most people think, man, they don't know if God wants to do good to them or not. They don't know, you know. You know, bad happens to them and they say it was the will of God. Jesus, you know, Jesus' ministry, he got a hard time because he preached such a good message that God wanted to bless people. He got in trouble. And you can do that today. You tell people God wants them well, and you'll get most people stand up and fight you on the subject. They'll fight with you about it. They'll want to be sick and go to the doctor. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, in 2 seconds, they'll run to a doctor and trying to get God's will that they said they got off their life. Running down there, God wants me sick for a purpose, and I'm going to rebel against him right away and go, and I'll even pay people money to get God's will off my life. Now, they don't view it like that, but understand that's what they're doing. They wonder why things don't work for them in life, but they need to understand they're always opposing the will of God. They're always opposing God's will. I truly believe this. I believe it's a sin to go to a doctor if you believe it's God's will for you to be sick. I believe it's a sin for you. It would be, wouldn't it? If God wanted you sick and you're trying to get it off of you. See, if God wanted me to preach the gospel and I wouldn't do it, wouldn't that be a sin? If I knew God wanted me to preach the gospel and I refused to do it. Well, if I knew that God wanted me sick, it'd just be just as much a sin for me to try to get rid of it. See, this is why people walk around, they have no idea what the will of God is. They don't know. They walk around, they don't know if God wants good or bad for them. That's why we've got to preach these things to people. We've got to preach, because there are people who would be glad to hear the good news that God wanted somebody well. God's not opposing man. I'd hate to think the best we got is doctors. Do you know almost a 250,000 people are going to die in the hospital this year just from overdoses of medication alone? 250,000 in America. That's just America. We ain't talking world. Now, I'm not against those doctors. I believe they do the best they can with what they, you know, got a lousy demonic system going on. But they're doing their best. But their best sure ain't good enough for a lot of people. Let's get real about all this stuff, folk. I'm not against doctors, but I'm going to tell you what. They ain't the answer to a lot. And, you know, any honest doctor would surely know that. They would surely know that they're not the answer to a lot of things that go on. And so, but let's walk in, you know, we got to walk in the light of the truth. But we find out here, so Jesus went and taught and preached. The first thing he did when picking disciples, his ministry went out, he went out to the people. He said he was teaching what in their synagogues and preaching. In other words, the synagogues is where the Jews began to meet. The synagogue thing started after the Jews were carried off into Babylon because they were away from their temples. So they would locally then gather together, and the synagogue system started off. And there they would go and they would be taught the Bible. They'd go there for prayers and for being taught the Bible. The people would gather together. And so Jesus began to go where the people gathered together to teach and preach and what? To heal. And what did he heal? He healed some diseases. Some weren't on the list. No, he said all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. What among the people? That's what he started doing. He started going among the people healing. Now, verse 24. What happened? Now, this took place. Now, this was taking place now in Galilee. Now, in Syria, which was neighbor above that, the nation of Syria. It said, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted in various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, paralytics, and he healed a couple. It said he healed them. He healed them. Jesus was going around showing people that it was God's will to heal. It was God's will to heal. Then we found out that verse 25 says, what great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. In other words, his fame went out. It went out. He's preaching this message, and he's preaching a message on healing, that it's God's will to heal. It's God's will to deliver people. God wants people well. God wants people. That's one of the Lord spoke to me concerning getting born again, filled with the Spirit. He said the number one thing that he wants for his Christian, for his born again people, the number one, he told me this when I was a baby Christian. He said, the number one thing I want is for my people to be healed. He said, because when my people are sick, many times they don't do my will. They can't do my will. They're sick. And he said, their money is being robbed from them. The money is being robbed from our nation. Our health system. And I don't care, it ain't Obamacare. The Republicans and Democrats have been both doing it for years. Robbing a system, not following God. And our health system's destroying us. It is eating up the money of the nation. It's destroying the nation. Whatever controls the money is going to control the nation. Understand this. Do you ever notice that? This is one thing about money. This is why the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in the hands of people, whatever they use to control with it, is what ends up dominating and leads people off to whatever. This is why it's the big fight in the government on the control of money. This is why that goes on. Whoever controls the money controls the nation. See, they want to control what they want to put the money to. They want to control what they want to put the money to. Many of them, on both sides of the aisle, want the money in government hands. They want all. They'll tell you, "Oh yeah, we want you to have." Yeah, well, I'm gonna tell you what. Since I have been born on this earth, there has not been one political party that has spent less money and let the people have more. Not one. All of them have spent more money. There has never been one nickel reduction in any kind of budget ever. Don't you ever believe that? It's never happened. Why? It's control of money. And whoever has them, that's why these men, they fight for power in position, because they can control money. Money's huge. Money's a huge thing. And that's why sinners with money will destroy everything. That's why the devil trusts his money. That's why the Antichrist system is one world government to control the monetary systems of the world. The monetary. If anybody control the monetary system of the world, we'll control the other. We'll control. You control the money, you control people. Understand those things. That's a good lesson you just got there. Understand it. Jesus preached a gospel of healing and deliverance. See, this is why so many people are worried about their health care now. You know, oh my God, you're going to ruin this. I ain't going to get to see the doctor. Well, you might have to learn to believe God. That might be interesting, shouldn't it? You know what God will do? If people will respond to Him, He'll heal them. Or if they just keep chasing after and they keep fighting the government to get their health system, they're going to have to live with it. Christians will. Christians will. That's all they'll get. That's all they're going to get. And so, you know, we need to. That's why we need to turn this. Jesus came. Can you imagine what it was? And you need to understand, if you look at Jesus coming into the earth, Jesus didn't come into to the Jews, and understand this, this is what he came to. This is God coming to his covenant people. Jesus Christ was sent to Israel. He was sent to the house of Israel, and he was sent for the purpose they were his covenant people. God was not going to do something else in the earth without first telling his covenant people. Understand, he never did. God does nothing in this earth without first telling his covenant people. The whole problem is most of the church don't know God, so they don't know what he's saying. But God is always talking, just like in those days. There's people who knew what God was saying, and there's people who didn't. There's ones who believed that Jesus was sent from God, and others didn't. You know, they had the choice to believe. But God was telling them His will. And Jesus Christ came, really, at this time, majority of the people are in, there's two classes. There's really a rich and a poor. There's not much of anything in between. And so there's not much in between. That's sort of what socialism. Socialism makes a rich class that rule and then makes underneath everybody else. You'll have 99% of everybody else in the system is all in this same old plane down here that are held down. That's where it is. Jesus entered really a system like that. That's where He came into. The majority of the people, if you study the history of the time, the majority of the people were poor. Even the medical science that did exist, most people didn't have any money for it to go to a doctor. They couldn't afford to pay for that. And so they mostly used their own home remedies of things and stuff. And I mean, people would, if you could go to a doctor, if you could afford, but most people couldn't afford that kind of stuff. They couldn't do those things. Jesus Christ came along. He was God sent. And what was His big thing was, is to heal people. Why? If you're well, you can prosper. If you're well, you can work. See, what the government does today is, if you're well and don't want to work, well, you don't, we'll take care of you anyhow. We're well, you know, it's just, we run a system. We run a system that is designed to destroy. God wants people well so they can do things. Why do people want to live long if you ain't going to do nothing? What do you want to live long for? Just sit around? Why, if you ain't going to do nothing, why on earth do you want to, what's the point of a long life? All you're doing is you're going to end up, especially in our society, you're just going to rob other people's money to take care of you. That's what we're going to do. See, it doesn't make sense. God first came on the scene. He wanted man to know the goodness of God. He wanted men well. Now, when you get into areas of poverty, in my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to be around poverty, to get around poverty, going to other nations, seeing poverty, things here in America with poverty and stuff going on. You see poverty going. Poverty is always loaded with sickness and disease. That's why the more this nation hurts in the area of money, the more sickness and disease, the more the devil gets a foothold. That's the way it runs. The more sick, the more the money gets eaten up, trying to keep people well. And it's a vicious cycle that just runs and destroys. Jesus came to these people and his ministry, let's go heal them. God's coming to make people well. That's what God wants to do. God reveals His goodness and mercy. I totally believe, as Kenneth Hagin used to use this saying, because they used it a lot in the healing revivals of the 50s. They used to say healing was the dinner bell. And really it was. It was God's call to man of His love and compassion for mankind. The healing was His thing that He used. God proved to men. You know, think about this. I'm not going to turn to it, but you know the story of the man who was brought by his friends to Jesus and couldn't get in the house, and he was on a stretcher and they took him up on the roof. And when they dropped him down, Jesus didn't heal him immediately. When they dropped him down, Jesus said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees, the men who were sitting there, it says, they muttered among themselves saying, who is this blasphemy? Who says he can forgive sin? And the Bible says that Jesus knew their thoughts. And Jesus said this to them. And I'm going to put it in easy terms to understand. The basics of what Jesus said was, I'm going to prove to you that I can forgive sin. Rise up and walk. Healing is the proof that God forgives sin. That's why Jesus healed so much. The people of the day that Jesus lived in, if you study the history, they were put under the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were told that they were poor and sick because you just are a bunch of rotten people and no good, and you're not going nowhere enough. These people were just downright put down. You know, you ain't great like we are. And put them on the bottom. Jesus come along and preached. He was going to prove to them, you know, they were all no good. You know, you couldn't, you know, your sins, you're just too bad. You've done too many bad things to get forgiven. Jesus comes along and preaches the opposite gospel that God's willing to forgive, and He proves it through healing. When ministers tell you that God don't heal, he's telling you God don't forgive sin. Understand this. If God won't heal me, he must be holding something against me. Isn't he? Must be something wrong that he wouldn't heal me. Isn't that? Then is he holding something against me? See, people have to use some good sense in listening to what's preached. They need to use some just good old common sense. When I was a little kid, I had a good enough sense to quit believing the nonsense they told me. I can't believe adults still believe it today. They're dumb enough to buy it. I can't believe it. Didn't make any sense to me. They talked about God loves you, and then he did every miserable thing he could think of to you. Out of his love. And then we make laws to put people in jail to do what God does. I'd think they told us to act like God, but if you go around killing people, they lock you up. I don't understand it. I don't quite get this. It's insanity. And Christianity, whether they realize it or not, has a lot of insanity in it. It doesn't make sense because we see Jesus here. This wonderful picture of Jesus. Jesus Christ, what is he healed? He's a healer. He went around and healed them. And so there was every kind of sickness and all the diseases, everything. There wasn't nothing left out. They bought demon-possessed people. They were delivered. They bought epileptics. They bought paralytics. Everything that they brought, he was willing to heal. Everything. Hallelujah. So know that about your Jesus. Your Jesus is definitely willing to heal. While we're in Matthew, go over to Matthew the 8th chapter. Go to Matthew the 8th chapter. Matthew the 8th chapter. Now listen to this. In verse 14, it says, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirit with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." You see what Jesus did? They brought to him. He went into Peter's house. Peter's mother was sick. And he didn't say, "Well, you know, I'll tell you, that's just the will of God." Why didn't they have to find out it was God? Why didn't Jesus drop to his knees and say, "Father, is it your will? If it be thy will, Lord, would you please heal Peter's mama? Would you please do that?" No, it said he walked in and she is sick and said he just went over and touched her. He went over. How would he know that? How would he know? Because he don't do nothing but what the Father's will is. And he didn't walk in the door and says, "Boy, Peter, you're lucky. You're really lucky. It's God's will for your mom to be healed. You know, your neighbor's mama's sick. She ain't getting healed. Not God's will to get her. You're lucky because you're one of the apostles. So your mama can be healed. But next door, there's no apostles next door. So good luck next door." Whether you believe it or not, loads of people believe that kind of stuff. Loads of people, because it's preached off of pulpits. It's been put into people over the years. "Well, God did this for this guy because he was this or he was that. Oh yeah, he does that for that person because of this." Then they say, "God's not a respecter of persons." That used to confuse me. When I was a kid, their messages would always confuse me. They would always confuse me. And adults would sit there and say, "Amen, good preaching." And I'd sit and think, that didn't make any sense. Because God had all these, he had special people, and then he had us lowlifes. Good luck. I had people tell me that God does things for me because I'm a minister. Well, I'll tell you what, I can lead you to loads of ministers that are sick and stay sick. You don't do it because he ain't healing because they're ministers. I guarantee you. I know loads of people that are called to preach the gospel will never preach the gospel because their health will never permit them ever do it unless they get healed. Yet they're called to it. It's God's. Why would God call them to preach and he wants them to be sick? Well, they're sick. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe right. They don't believe what's right. We always want to believe what's right. But we found out here. He said, when evening comes, said they brought him. So when the people came to him, he understand it. Did he turn anybody away? You sit down and read the Gospels and you find for me a spot where Jesus turned anybody away. Now, if he didn't do anything but what the Father said, he didn't do anything but what he did was the Father. He said, the Father's doing the works. Then the Father never turned anybody away who ever came to Jesus. And we see this. Did he turn any of them away? Was this just a good night out, you know, and he just, well, tonight God's good. Tomorrow, watch out. There'll be a comet hit the earth. You know, it's like, no, we don't find that. The entirety of Jesus' ministry. I mean, check from the Jesus' crucifixion. Think about this. No matter the evil that they did to him in beating him and crucifying, he took all their sin on himself and died on the cross to give them a covenant of salvation which had healing in it. To what? All who sin. Salvation's for all who sin. All those people who sin, all those people who opposed his ministry, he died so they could be delivered. He died so they... It was the will of God for them to be delivered. It was the will of God. See, God was in the doing the good business. He's always doing good. In Matthew, the... ninth chapter. Let's go to Matthew. They're just good. We're doing some of these things out of Matthew. We're not going to go through all of them, but the Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established, and we're just establishing some good stuff. Hallelujah. Matthew, the ninth chapter. Let's see. I'm going to read down through here. Let's see. Where do we want to go to? Well, we'll go down through. All right. Let's start up to 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, he says, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all the country. So they ran around everywhere, telling everybody about this, that Jesus said, you know, hold off, guys. But they went around. So, but so in other words, we do see a pattern here. Understand, Jesus went around teaching and preaching, and we came, here these guys had faith. How could they have had faith if they had not heard? It's impossible. They had heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. These guys had heard. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard about Jesus. In other words, she had heard. Somebody either told her about Jesus, or she heard what Jesus was preaching through somebody, or she heard Jesus preach or something, but she heard and she came. And Jesus told them, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. Isn't that interesting? Because people are always, well, you know, Jesus did all. He healed everybody because he's the Son of God. Well, he didn't hear. He told them these guys would have only what their faith could believe. They got what they could believe. They believed he could do it. It goes on then to tell us, it says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute. He was demon-possessed. It says, and when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. You know, the devil's always running around casting out devils. That always works. But then it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and all of the village. In other words, Jesus went about some places that God only willed to heal people. Now he went to all the cities and all the villages teaching what? And again, look, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, now listen, we saw the multitudes. Now he's talking about multitudes. This is not a 200 crowd people. They're called multitudes. What happened? He's running around. He's healing every kind of disease. He said, when he saw the multitudes, what was it? He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest sends forth labor in the harvest. If you would jump to chapter 10, you find out. That's when he sent the disciples out. You know what Jesus did? Jesus looked at all the people that needed healed. And you know what he did? We got to get more healers out there. That's what he did. See, God's in the healing business. God's in the healing business. That's what God loves to do. Jesus went around healing and he said, you know what? I can't get to enough people. He was moved with compassion. What? If he was going to heal people, he was moved with compassion. We should always be moved with compassion about sick people. You should, if you don't hate sickness, you know, most Christians hate our government a lot more than they love sickness and hate the government. They'll coddle sickness and do everything they can to get and be. They just hate the government. They hate what the government's doing. Oh, they're just incensed. You don't see Jesus fighting the government. He went around, the government was messed up, and you know what he did? He went around healing people. Getting people well. See, God wants to bring a great healing revival, but you know what? He can't bring it with the church thinking like they do. The church. Today, the preaching on TV, we have some guys that are good, but I'll tell you what, there's too many that are preaching really things that aren't good that oppose what the good preach. There's too many out here that are preaching natural stuff and getting stuff and doing stuff. They're not, their emphasis is not right and isn't doing what's right. We see in this thing, Jesus, as he said, he had compassion. His compassion. Well, where did his compassion come from? Jesus was just a nice guy. You know. No. He was doing the will of God. It's God's, the Father's compassion. He said, my Father's doing the works. If he wants to heal, then the compassion came from his Father. In other words, the heart of God looked on the people and said, you know what? There ain't enough of them getting healed. There's not enough. We need more people preaching this stuff and laying hands on these people. We need more going on. He didn't say we need less of this. You know, turn on your preachers on TV and see how much healing. Man, all they're talking is money. Money, 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 money. They're trying to control like the world does. If I can get the money, I can control the people. They're talking about control. Jesus didn't try to control people. You know, Jesus never tried to control people's money. Do you know that? It wasn't ever the plan of God to control your money. The plan of God was to get you saved, and through your salvation, you were supposed to learn to control your money. That's what you were supposed to do. That's why Jesus didn't sit around and fight governments all the time. He didn't do that. Because the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of men. It's not like the kingdoms of men. It's not trying to do. God looked and had compassion on people. Jesus went around healing all these people. And man, the compassion of God to him said, man, this ain't enough. There's not enough healing going on here. There's not enough. I believe that's today. I believe we could say there ain't enough healing going on, is there? But see, there's not enough gospel on healing preached. Not true gospel. There's many people will say Jesus will heal, but they don't stand up and say Jesus wants everybody well. There's not enough of them out here saying that. There's not people talking these things. There's not enough people. See, when I came in the kingdom, man, healing was preached. That's why there was so much faith for healing. Because healing was preached. Healing is a minute. People, God wanted people well, wanted people healed. That's the bottom line on the subject. And the dinner bell was rung all the time. The dinner bell was always ringing. That you'd look up through from the time of the healing revivals of the 50s on up through the charismatic, really it was a teaching revival started, and then charismatic renewal. Healing was always in the forefront of this. Healing was out in the forefront. Healing was always pushed out in the front. God's a healer. You know, we had healing ministries out here. Today we have financial ministries today. TV is full of the finance ministers. It's filled with them. And you know what? We got money, and the Christians learn how to get money and now live ungodly. Their money dominates them. They're always consuming it on their lusts. Look, I ain't against having money. I'm for having money. But I want to get some godly. I want to get some godly, and I want to get a big heap of godly before I get a big heap of money. Because if I don't get a big heap of godly, I'll tell you what's going to dominate me. It's going to be the money. And I know this. I can listen to people preaching TV, and I know what dominates them. I know that spirit. It's not the spirit of God. It's not God. They're dominated by money. That's the spirit of the age. That's the spirit of this world. We're never supposed to be dominated. Money's a tool for us. Money should never be any more than that. We should never look at money as anything great. Money is a way to bless and help and do the will of God. That's what it's for. Hallelujah. I can live a good life, have nice things, but it's only for the purpose we use whatever we have to glorify God, to magnify God, to help to spread the gospel, to get the sick healed. Hallelujah. The lame walking, the blind seeing. We want those things. You always want them. That's one of the things you will ever see. Evangelistic ministries that are reaching the world and that stuff. Evangelistic ministries reaching the ones that have the greatest significant move are ones who heal the sick. You know, Billy Graham has reached a lot of people, but Billy Graham's own admission that a lot of people don't follow God after him. Why? All they get is Jesus wants to save you and forgive you your sins. That's all they get. The dinner bell never rings. Now, I'm sorry, I love Billy. Billy's done a lot of good. I love Billy. But I want... People need to... He needs to get the full gospel out. He needs where people see the works of God. If we look at the book of Acts, if the book of Acts, that angel told John G. Lake, the book of Acts is the pattern for the church. Well, healing was in the forefront. They went about healing and healing and healing and healing. If we want the will of God to be seen in America, we're going to have to bring healing back to the forefront. That's why you need to be convinced that God wants you well. You can't. You're not going to live the will of God in front of other people if you're not convinced that God wants you well. If you think God's making you sick for a reason and stuff like that, well, you're going to portray that on to others. God wants you to show to people. In other words, just like Jesus' life was an image of what God wanted, shouldn't ours be? We're always talking about, oh, walking like Jesus walked. Well, one of the things is healing is one of the ways that we walk. And we carry healing. We carry it. Man, we got it. We carry it to people because it's the will of God. God wants people well. He wants them whole and sound. So we want to stay and follow the pattern that God... We should look with compassion always on people that are sick. I'll tell you, I look around, I don't care if I see sinners, I don't care how evil they've been. It is awful that people have to be sick. Sickness is a terrible, terrible, awful thing. My words, I mean, if you think about people on this earth, how many people live in severe pain and agony all the time? Live, never well, never. I mean, you just walk around America and you look. When I was a kid, elderly people were 10 times more healthy than elderly people today. Elderly people weren't taking 47 medications. We didn't have every other parking space in the lot was handicapped parking. We didn't have, you went to the stores, they didn't have all the you can't get a car, one of the electric carts anymore. You can't get them because there's 400 people want them in the place. And they're lined up with Christians. The Christians need them as much as the world does. Is because why? Healing's been gone. It's gone. And it don't come back. Jesus brought it back to Israel through teaching and preaching it. It must come to the forefront. I believe that many ministers today are not following the will of God because they would make more emphasis into these areas. You know, it's like with me. I can hardly preach things without going over to healing because it's in me. Talking about faith for healing. It's in me. It's the will of God. It's God's plan for people to be well. But get it into yourself. One of the way that God taught me about healing and His will for people to be well was by teaching me about health for myself. He taught me that, how he wanted me well. And I learned that his love and compassion, and looking at somebody else, that he didn't want them sick. That I wasn't special on the list. That he taught me about healing because he wanted other people well. That's why he taught it. See, much of the church world, I believe a lot of it stopped because people got selfish. They just took healing to themselves. They took financial prosperity to themselves. They took all these things to themselves, and it's for me, for my life. They didn't care to anybody else. They didn't take it to nobody. They just, it's for me. And no, we take it to other people. Hallelujah. In Matthew 14:14 says this, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And again, look at this. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. It's Matthew 14:14. He went out. He saw the multitude. What did Jesus see in the multitude? He went out and saw the multitude. And what did he do? He wasn't moved. Look, there's loads of people. That multitude was probably filled with people who had done all kinds of things in their lives. He wasn't moved, but what he was moved, he saw people sick and he said, that ain't right. That ain't God's will. Sick people are not the will of God. Sickness is not the will of God. The children of Israel were told specifically from Moses, directly from God, in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, what sickness and disease came from rebellion of not following God's plan, sickness and disease. It came because of the sin of men. It wasn't because it was God's plan. Sickness came because of men's sin. It did. So we see this. Jesus came along. What's God's answer to men's sin? It's forgiveness. And healing rings the bell that God wants to heal the people. He wants to show, I want to be good to you. I want to bless you. See, we need to see that today. We need to look out of Christ. We have a nation that's full of sin. You know what God's answer is? He wants a healing revival. That's what God wants in America. He wants a healing revival so men and women will know that God will forgive their sin. That God's good and He's interested in them. That's what He wants to do. Kenneth Hagin, before he left this earth, he said the last day revival that God was, he said there's going to be a healing revival in this earth that's going to take place. He said that it'll be outshine any move of healing that has ever taken place. He said even the book of Acts. So if you want to know what God's will in the end, it wasn't for everybody to get to be millionaires and we all drive around in great cars and we just take over the world with our wealth. Hey, I've listened to them in the 90s preach that stuff, major ministers. If I said their names, you'd surely know who they were. I heard them talk about how we're going to take over. We're going to, all the businesses are going to come to us and say, oh, show us what to do. And we're going to, oh, we're going to control it. And we come back, we're going to give the kingdom to God. You know, we're going to straighten everything out that Jesus comes. Well, then who needs Jesus if we're going to straighten it all out? Ain't no reason for Him to come back. It's all this lunacy. Men's ideas. And see, money will make you think that way. Money will make you crazy if you don't get right. Look what it does. Look what it does in Washington. It takes the nicest guys in the world. You can send the nicest people down there. Great, great ideas, good things and that stuff. And they get down there in that swamp. And if they don't stay walking with God, they end up doing what everybody else does in the swamp. That's what they do. Praise God, we ain't doing that. Hallelujah. I just want you to know these scriptures again is, you know, my whole thing. I'm doing all these things and I'm saying things over and over again and saying them over and over because I want you to have without any doubt in your mind that God wants you well. And when somebody comes to you and asks a question about healing, you have no other thing to say to them than God wants you well. God's not in opposition to you to be healed. You may be in opposition, but God is never in opposition. His perfect will for your life is for you to be healed. That's what it is. That's what He showed through Jesus, and that's what He will show through you in the same way. So whatever attacks you, whatever comes on in your life, tries to hold you back or do something, understand immediately what the will of God is for you, is for you to be well. Hallelujah. Don't ever question that. You may miss it and open the door for the devil for something, but God's going to bring, the Holy Ghost is going to lead you back in line with the Word of God so you can be well. It's not so you can stay sick. God wants you sick to teach you a lesson. No, God wants you to get in faith and get out of that. That's what he was. You might learn from that. That's fine. But that was never his intent. His intent wasn't when you get sick so he can teach you something good. You need to understand that. You know, people turn around. I've heard people look at guys like Kenneth Hagin and say, see, well, God wanted him sick and all that as a baby. So, you know, God could teach him all these things and all that stuff. No, it wasn't. The devil was trying to kill him because the devil knew the call of God on his life coming into the earth. The devil tried to stop the plan of God. Don't believe that the devil, that's why the devil led me off in the past. The devil knew. You look at all major men, Oral Roberts and those guys. The devil all tried to kill all of them when they were young. Tried to kill all of them when they were young. Why? He knew. He knew God's plan. Everybody born into this earth has a plan of God in their life. Now, whether they ever follow it or not, determined to them. But God has a plan for every human. That's why it's God's will that all should be saved, that nobody should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why? Because God has a plan for good for everybody's life. God had a good plan for Adolf Hitler's life. He didn't follow. But God had a plan. God had a plan. And every person, he had a plan for their life. And many people, you know, what Adolf Hitler may have been called to in his life by God wanted him to do, but what he ended up in doing. See, we got this idea some people just God didn't want and God wanted. God wants everybody. Now, God knows through his foreknowledge that not everybody's going to follow. He knows that. Because that makes him God. You know, he knows it. But it isn't because he willed it. Because he knows the choices men will make. But nonetheless, he gives all the opportunity to follow him. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Again, we look into your word and we see your great goodness, your great mercy, and your great kindness and your compassion on us. It is your desire for us to be well, but not just us, but for everybody. Oh, you're so good. Your love and mercy is so good. And we just want to thank you. Father, we see these things. And Father God, we just stand against and refuse any other message than you're a good God. Any other message than that your desire for man is to bless man and to help man. Father God, we know the word tells us there will be judgment fall on people. But that was not your perfect will. Father, it's because men chose other things. But Father, I want to thank you for giving us a wonderful message to tell people that God is a healer, a deliverer. That the Father God loves them and will forgive them of all their iniquity. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, that you've given us this glorious gospel to preach. And I thank you, Father God. Father, we want your anointing. We want the anointing of heaven on our lives. To speak these wonderful words of truth that people would hear and come to the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and healer. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.